Test, test. Oh, that's better. Can you hear me?
Amen.
They can't hear under the balcony. Can that go up a little bit? Okay, it's as wide as it'll get. Okay, so today we're in the second part of our series that we're doing, a short series on the essentials of our faith. Last week, we talked a little bit about God because, well, let's face it, He is the foundation. Without God, we have no faith. Without God, we believe we have no life. We have no purpose for living. We have no reason for being. God created us with that reason. And that reason we talked about last week was to be in relationship with Him. God created us to be in relationship with Him. Well, this week, we're going to talk about the second step in that process. The second thing that's essential to our faith, and it's this idea of salvation. You see, there's something happened. God created us to be in perfect relationship with Him, connected, tight as brothers and sisters. God created us to be in relationship with Him, but something happened to break that relationship. What was that? It was the fall, sin. Sin entered the picture, and because God is holy and righteous and perfect, sin has no place in His presence. So here we are. We're supposed to be close and tight like this, and then we sinned and pulled away. So enter the picture, the resolution to the problem called salvation. Now I'm going to read again Romans 10, 9 through 13, because this is the jumping off point for us to talk about salvation today and for us to talk about the essentials of our faith. If you confess with your mouth what? That Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart leading to righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth leading to salvation. The scripture says, no one who believes in Him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That sounds really good. Sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? Confess Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised Him from the dead. Now, if you're looking for hope, there is no easier answer to your searching than this passage right here. But it doesn't give us all the answers. In fact, it raises a lot more questions than answers that it gives. You see, it says, if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. But it doesn't say what you will be saved from or what you will be saved to. Now, granted, this is the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, and Paul has talked about a lot of this in the first 9 chapters. But if you're just reading this passage, like a lot of people do when we try to do evangelism like we used to and lead them down the Romans road and just read different passages, you may get the wrong picture of what you're saved from and what you're saved to. See, for the last about 200 years, we've been pushing this idea of, when I say we, I mean Christians, have been pushing this idea of, you've got to get them saved. It doesn't matter what you do with them afterwards, you've got to rescue them. And the message that's being taught and the message that we're told to believe is, if you don't do A, B, and C, if you don't believe in Jesus as Lord, and you don't, or if you don't confess that Jesus is Lord, and you don't believe that God raised him from the dead, the consequence is you'll go to hell. Now, what we've done with that is we've oversimplified the message of salvation to be, you just got to get into heaven, baby. Don't worry about any other stuff. Oh, the only thing is that's most important, and you've probably heard this from street evangelists, what would happen if you were to die tonight? And it's a shocking question. To some extent, it's a challenging question, but it reduces the gospel and salvation and Christianity down to something that is not what Christianity was meant to be about. You see, Jesus didn't come to get us out of hell. That's a byproduct. That's something that happens to happen. Jesus came, he says, he came to give us life and life abundantly. Jesus says he came to make disciples. Jesus gave us the Great Commission. The final challenge to his disciples was not get as many out of hell as you can. No. Jesus said, go and make disciples. Getting out of hell, it's a good thing. I mean, from the descriptions of hell that I've heard, I don't want to go there. But if we reduce getting saved to just getting out of hell, then we've lied about what Jesus as Lord means, and we have not told the truth about what the full gospel entails for people who believe it. You see, we are saved to something so much more than we are saved from something. We are saved from that broken relationship where God wants to be with us. And we are brought back because our sins are wiped clean through the death and blood of Jesus. But through the life and resurrection of Jesus, we are reconnected to God, and we can live an abundant life, and we can live a life that has purpose and meaning. How many of you have struggled from time to time to find purpose and meaning in your life? I know I have. From time to time, when I can't pay the bills, when my kids are sick and they won't get better, when I'm sick and I'm depressed, I think about why. Why am I here going through this and doing this? God doesn't seem to be getting glory. I'm certainly not living an abundant life. What is the purpose? And I don't remember. I have to be reminded, mostly by Melissa, because she's really good at that. I have to be reminded that I'm not here always to have everything I've ever wanted. But instead, I'm here because I'm supposed to have a relationship with God Almighty. And it's through that relationship that I experience love and mercy and grace. that I experience purpose and meaning, and that I find my meaning in sharing what I have with God with others. See, that's what evangelism is supposed to be. Most of us were raised at a time, came up in a time when you would take the four spiritual laws or the Romans Road little booklet, and you would go knock door to door and say, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? But that's not evangelism. Evangelism is, I've got hope and peace and joy because I've got a relationship with God. And I want to show you what that looks like. Because I know if you don't have this, boy, could you use it. It'll change your life. So I want to talk to you about one other thing. And that's one more aspect of who God is. Because this aspect defines what God did. You see, in the Old Testament, when you see the word written out, the word Lord written out in capitals, that was the unmentionable name of God in the Hebrew. We say Yahweh. They would never have said that. Instead, what they said was Jehovah. Jehovah was another name for God that they could pronounce. And it wasn't the unmentionable, the indescribable name. And so Jehovah is rescuer. What does that mean? Well, we get the stories all throughout Scripture. We get the story with Noah. The world is terrible. People are evil. Noah is a righteous man. God sends a flood to destroy the world and rescues Noah. We get the story with Moses and the Israelites. The Jews are slaves in Egypt. God finds Moses, who has been rescued by the princess of Egypt, given a life in the palace, and God calls Moses and says, you will rescue my people Israel, and I will rescue my people Israel through you. You see, there is this understanding of who God is, that God is rescuer, because his people are so good at getting into trouble. They're so good at finding themselves in need of rescuing. We see it time and time again in Judges. The people follow God. God has a close relationship with them. And then the people turn away and somebody else comes and sacks Israel and takes a bunch of people prisoner, and God has to find a judge, and that judge goes and rescues the people of Israel. We see it with David and Saul. We see it with the Babylonian exile, when the people of Israel are captured by Babylon, and then Babylon is overtaken by Persia, that's right. Babylon is overtaken by Persia, and Persia has a completely different way of relating to people and sends people back. And God rescues his people by conquering Babylon. God sent Jesus to rescue his people, and his people rejected him. Throughout history, we still have stories of God rescuing people. We have the story, the most recent, most real story to us is God rescuing African-American slaves or African slaves through the works of people like Harriet Tubman. God offering salvation and bringing them out of slavery literally to find hope and peace. And in the midst of their slavery, they still worshiped God, just like the Jews still worshiped God when they were in slavery in Egypt. You see, God is a rescuer. What do you need to be rescued from today? Some of you may need to be rescued from sin. It may be overwhelming you, whether it's lack of self-control when it comes to eating, which I'll raise my hand on that one. Whether it's lack of self-control when it comes to drinking alcohol or using drugs or many myriad things, whether it's you're having an affair or you're not being faithful to your spouse mentally and emotionally, whether it's you're addicted to lying and not telling the truth. There are many ways sin can have a grasp on you. And I want to tell you today, God is rescuer. God will rescue you. What do you need rescuing from today? Maybe you're in financial straits, dire financial straits, and you don't know how you're going to survive. I can't make a promise that God is going to get you out of it and make you a multimillionaire. I don't know. And I don't know the mind of God, why he does things for some people and doesn't do them for others. It's frustrating, isn't it? But God will be there with you through it. And he will provide hope and comfort. And if you need help financially, come talk to me. I can't give you any money. I ain't got any. But I can point you to some resources. And I can point you in certain directions to people in the community and to places in the government that will and can help for now. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you're struggling with some of the signs of aging. Maybe you're struggling with different things that are going on. Remember, God is rescuer. He may not get you out of it the way you want to be got out of it, but he will be there with you through it. And in the end, he does offer paradise. In the end, there is always hope, because his kingdom, his reign is inevitable. His love will go unchecked, and you will be the recipient of that love. So today, maybe you need salvation from your sins, and maybe we need to have a conversation about that. Or maybe just you need to know God as rescuer. Know him today. He is good. He is kind. He is love. And he will meet you where you are, because God, remember, the most important attribute about God that we talked about last week is that he wants a relationship with each of you. And he did what was necessary to make it happen. So as we sang, run to the Father. Fall into grace. You'll find him waiting for you. Let's pray. Father, I know sometimes life is overwhelming. Whether it's sickness or pain or age or failing friendships and relationships or sinfulness. But God, you have promised that if we come to you, if we run to you, you will meet us where we are. You will give us hope and peace. You will meet us as we need you. And God, we need you. God, would you renew in our minds today and this week our desperation for you, your radical love for us, and that we are saved to more than just escaping hell, but we are saved to an abundant life of showing your love to everyone around us. That is our purpose. Salvation provides purpose and meaning. God, remind us of that. We pray all of this in Jesus' name because he bought our salvation. Amen.